You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Welcome back. The final segment of a Joe Beamer-hosted Hardline for 2 weeks. And, you know, then we'll be back. And I won't say back and better than ever. We'll just be back in 2 weeks. And for this final segment, who better to bring in than Deputy Washington Bureau Chief Dave Leventhal from the Business Insider. Dave, happy Super Bowl Sunday.
Happy Super Bowl Sunday. A Sunday I wish I was in Los Angeles, for example, as opposed to Washington, D.C. But here we all are, Joe Beamer.
Yes, yes. I mean, happy might be the wrong word to use, but I'm looking forward to next year when the Waste Management Open is 35 minutes away from the Super Bowl. I mean, can you think of a better weekend?
No, not at all. But I do, as many Buffalonians do, have very, very high hopes for the Bills' future, no doubt.
I sure do as well, Dave. Well, you know, looking nationally, yesterday, President Biden was on the phone with Vladimir Putin. What did we hear of this phone conversation? Well, first, how long was it, and what did we hear of this phone conversation?
It was about an hour-long phone call, and news broke just before it happened that it was going to happen. Obviously, incredibly high stakes here, given the fact that Russia has mobilized hundreds of thousands of troops in the land surrounding three sides of Ukraine, in the seas, militarily and navy-wise, around Ukraine as well. So what we know of the call, and of course we don't get a transcript of the call, is that not a lot of progress happened really any which way, one way or another. Things still stand largely where they did before the call, which is with Joe Biden and the United States government saying, look, if you invade Ukraine, there are going to be incredibly severe non-military, and I should underscore that, non-military consequences that it could include very damaging sanctions and otherwise an isolation by the United States and its allies. And of course, what we know from what Vladimir Putin said, they've effectively maintained that they are going to do what they want to do. They try to kind of angle for concessions, such as the United States guaranteeing that Ukraine would not become a member of NATO and receive the full rights and protections of a NATO member. So we have now Joe Biden having another call with the president of Ukraine coming up. So we've got a very, very tense weekend on the international front. And of course, our conversations are oftentimes so dominated by domestic issues. And it seems like everything is turning up international this weekend.
That's right, Dave. And so, you know, it's these phone calls, they happen. We've seen it with every president. But like you said, it's not much progress was made. So when do we think, or where do we think anything will happen? Do we think there's still that chance that nothing happens?
There, of course, is a chance that nothing will happen. And there's actually a debate between the United States government and Ukraine's government as to the risk factors here. The United States seems to think, based on its intelligence, at least what it's said publicly, that there is a significant risk of there being military action by Russia against Ukraine, and that it could happen within days. It could happen within the Olympics. A lot of people thinking that, well, maybe Russia's going to wait until the Olympics are over. Well, the United States seems to dispute that, at least at this point, that it could happen even during that. Ukraine, on the other hand, is saying, hold up, wait a second, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves here, and yes, this is a serious situation, but we don't believe that an attack is imminent. And of course, they have other concerns, such as creating panic in chaos within their own country, the economy of Ukraine falling apart as a result of the fear that this could be stoking. So we have, of course, geopolitical concerns here, but Ukraine has its own domestic concerns here that it's trying to take care of in a very, very tenuous situation. When, I should note, the United States is basically evacuating all of its folks except the most central diplomats from Ukraine, and otherwise urging any Americans to leave the country so that if something does happen militarily, that they are not going to be directly in harm's way.
Now, we spoke about President Joe Biden. As we know, he's up for re-election if he runs in 2024. Interesting, though, this week, and you know, with social media, Dave, I don't know how to take this news. I don't know how to accept it, to put it to the side. But it seems as if there is a former presidential competitor from 2016 who might be making her case to run on the Democrat ticket in 2024.
Well, you know, Hillary Clinton's name does come up from time to time. Now, at this point in time, the likelihood, and we're talking here today in February of 2022, the likelihood of Hillary Clinton running again and becoming the Democratic nominee, I would say objectively is extremely remote. And there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, if Joe Biden does run for a second term, which he said that he has never said that he is going to not do that, then he's going to run for a second term, and that's the end of the story. There are also several other people who are actively in politics right now, including Vice President Kamala Harris, Treasury Secretary Pete Buttigieg, among some others that we could name, who would seem to be very, very much at the forefront of Democratic politics, who would run for president if Joe Biden decides not to. Hillary Clinton has run twice. She has lost twice. So for a lot of Democrats, she is old news, and people would be very, very resistant to her mounting a third bid, especially when she hasn't had success the first two tries. And there are other younger, more active politicians on the Democratic side who could do this. So bottom line, it's fun to talk about. It's a great parlor game, but I don't know if the hype is really meeting up with the reality at this point.
I'll tell you, Dave, I don't care where anyone stands politically. I'm not sure we're ready for Trump versus Clinton part two.
you and a lot of other people. And, you know, this really joke kind of goes and speaks to what's happening definitely on the Republican side of the aisle and to some extent. And you brought up Hillary Clinton is a perfect example where you oftentimes have people in the context of talking about 2022 and 2024, the midterm election and the presidential race, kind of pointing the arrow 180 in the opposite direction and starting to relitigate 2020 or even 2016. So that oftentimes is not going to be a winning message for most Americans, regardless of where their politics are. It definitely will captivate some. We all love to do the nostalgia thing, but ultimately it's going to come down to, in most elections, what do we need now? What are the key issues that are facing Americans at this moment? And not worrying so much about what happened 4 years ago or 6 years ago.
Dave, another thing that we are seeing, speaking of Hillary versus Trump, we can also talk of former President Trump and current President Joe Biden. You know, I'm looking at these congressional, and this is something you and I have commented on before, I'm looking at these congressional races, and especially in swing districts, it seems like those candidates on the left for Democrats, the right for Republicans in swing districts, they're kind of pulling the Glenn Youngkin. They don't want anything to do with either Joe Biden or Donald Trump when it comes to campaigning.
Yeah, you're right. And for a lot of them. Now, that's not the case for all of them. And it's interesting. We at Insider just reported a couple days ago that Donald Trump had made his 100th endorsement of a 2022 midterm congressional candidate or other candidates who are running this time around. So it definitely still shows that Trump has incredible sway in the Republican Party. He is still wildly popular among most Republicans. And if you look at the polls, those polls support that notion. That being said, Donald Trump's numbers are not where they used to be. Okay, so even though his popularity remains high, it is waning. And there are definitely cracks that are appearing within the Republican Party itself, led by nobody less than Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, who are indicating, telegraphing, and otherwise underscoring that the Republican Party needs to think beyond Donald Trump, and that Donald Trump is not necessarily the best standard bearer for the country, that Donald Trump should not run for president in 2024. So there's this very, very curious subplot that's going on increasingly in the Republican Party. And it's not coming from the usual sources like a Liz Cheney or an Adam Kinzinger, the two members of Congress who are very anti-Trump. It's coming from other party standard bearers, people who have actual power and who lead the U.S. Senate, for example. And, a lot of this was really put into sharp relief when the Republican National Committee just a few days ago moved to censure Kinzinger and Liz Cheney. And that upset some very, very old hand Republicans, including McConnell, who basically said, we're eating our own here. What are we doing? This is not going to be helpful, and this is not going to help us in an electoral context in 2022, when Republicans absolutely have a not just legitimate chance, but a very, very real and present chance of winning either the House or the Senate or both, and taking control of both sides of Congress at a time when Democrats control the White House. So lots of political intrigue here going on right now with no easy answer for Republicans, at least at this point.
Dave, you guys are doing a series over there at Business Insider. And before we get into that, I want to talk about, we are talking about that, the trading stocks, the banning Congress from trading stocks. I'm very interested in the last, I don't know if it's been weeks or months, you're starting to see people in Congress do a 180 on where they stand on members of Congress trading stocks.
We published a project at Insider called Conflicted Congress. We published it in mid-December, and in the midst of this project publishing, and mind you, we published about two dozen stories and data visualizations and interactives, and we asked House Speaker Nancy Pelosi a couple days after our first articles published, should members of Congress be allowed to trade stocks? Because we had found there being numerous examples, dozens and dozens of examples, of members of Congress who were violating a federal law that is supposed to defend against conflicts of interest and otherwise provide the public transparency on the personal investments of public officials. And also found numerous conflicts of interest coming from both Democrats and Republicans, where, for example, you would have members of the House Armed Services Committee who have incredible amounts of control over defense policy in the country, trading, buying, selling stock in Boeing and Raytheon and Lockheed Martin and General Dynamics, defense contractors who buy for billions of dollars worth of defense contracts. So back to Nancy Pelosi, she said at the time, and I paraphrase, well, it's a free market economy, and members of Congress should be able to participate in that, when we put the question to her of whether members should be able to trade stocks. So a very strange coalition of Republicans and Democrats began to really coalesce around this. You had Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Senator Elizabeth Warren, for example, on the left, and Senator Josh Hawley, and even then Donald Trump on the right, all basically saying the same thing, which is that this is crazy. Members of Congress should not be able to buy and sell stocks while they're members of Congress because it poses a real or a perceived conflict of interest that Congress shouldn't have because they're privy to lots of insider information and they go to classified briefings and know lots and lots of stuff about the economy or even individual industries or companies that average Americans don't. So therefore, they should not be able to profit on this. So flash forward to today, Joe, and basically what we have is we have all four leaders, top leaders of Congress, Nancy Pelosi now, who has changed her view, at least to some degree, Mitch McConnell, Kevin McCarthy, and Chuck Schumer basically saying that they are open to an actual ban. So the fact that this is a now very bipartisan issue and that it's actually moving forward to and working groups and House committees is a monumental change after this issue had largely been dead up until December.
Now, you've raided every member of Congress, and obviously we want people to go and read it. But can you give us an idea of where some of our members of Congress might stand on this list?
Sure. Well, you are absolutely right. We created a methodology where we raided every single member of Congress from the far left to the far right and everyone in between to indicate whether they were adhering to current laws on the books and otherwise avoiding conflicts of interest in their activities. So what we have found, first of all, is that, let's go super local, Representative Brian Higgins, a Democrat, he had some issues. He violated what's called the Stop Trading on Congressional Knowledge Act of 2012 by having some late disclosures. So definitely, an issue for him. Chuck Schumer, we gave a yellow grade. We graded everyone green for solid, yellow for caution, and red for danger. And Chuck Schumer got a yellow grade as well. So, there have definitely been some local New York politicians who do not have a perfect record on this. And if you go across the country, too, it was almost 50-50 when it came to Democrats and Republicans who did not get a perfect grade or a good grade in the green zone when it came to them falling short of, mind you, the own law that they had created for themselves, because Congress, when it comes to the enforcement of this Stock Act law, the Stop Trading on Congressional Knowledge Act law, they are their own cop on the beat. They are their own referee. They set the rules up themselves, and we've shown through our reporting that in many, many cases, time and again, including both members of Congress and also to a couple hundred senior level staff members in Congress who are top aides to members of Congress, they too have fallen short of the standard that Congress has set for itself.
It is interesting looking through this, Dave, that the members that, have a few violations are the members that are still on the side of, well, we can't ban members of Congress from stock trading. I did find that interesting.
Yeah, and, about roughly speaking, about half the members of Congress trade individual stocks. The other half either don't trade any stocks at all or keep them in mutual funds or exchange-traded funds where just by the nature of those types of investments, they don't have a direct say in what companies are being bought and sold. And most members of Congress see mutual funds, for example, being very conservative in a small C sort of sense and in basically allowing members of Congress to avoid conflicts of interest. We've talked to, literally hundreds of members of Congress about this and communicated with their offices. And there are still some who say, no, this is a bad idea to ban members of Congress from trading stocks. We shouldn't do it. And it comes from the Republican side. I can think of Pete Sessions, a representative from Texas, Republican, who is very anti-stock trade ban. And Elaine Luria, a Democrat from Virginia, who just came out and said that this idea, and she used a word we cannot say on radio to describe what she thought of this particular idea. So you're definitely getting some members who are active traders saying, no, we should not do this. We need to stop. We need to think about it. Which, for those who support this idea, really see that as evidence that they need to ban this activity all the more for fear that certain members of Congress are acting in their own personal financial interests ahead of what ostensibly would be the public interest by virtue of them being an elected member of Congress and serving up on Capitol Hill on behalf of their constituency.
Dave, I'm going to throw a curveball at you here, and I apologize. But, some people may be may like to know that there are still nomination hearings going on. And since I do work in a FCC-regulated radio station, I have kept my eye on the FCC nominee hearing. This is a bit of a controversial nominee that they are hearing from right now, correct?
It is. And mind you, I will not be able to hit your curveball out of the park in that I haven't been following the issue closely. But it definitely, you know, underscores what is not just a thing in isolation for Joe Biden, but something across the board, which is pushing nominees through a oftentimes very reluctant Senate because, well, we've got a couple of things going on here. Number one, as we all know, it's a 50-50 divided Senate. The Democrats have the majority basically because they have the White House, and Kamala Harris as vice president can cast tie-breaking votes. But whether it's the SEC, the FCC, the FEC, and many other letter agencies, including judicial appointments, which we are going to get a real ride very soon when we have Joe Biden's first Supreme Court nominee coming before the Senate, these can be very, very controversial. And it's something where Republicans, if they want to just completely vote in line and in lockstep, can block nominations, especially when the Democrats don't fully have their house in order, so to speak. And you have senators such as Kyrsten Sinema from Arizona and Joe Manchin from West Virginia, who are Democrats, but oftentimes will vote against party orthodoxy. You got to get to 50 somehow, and that's becoming very difficult for Joe Biden, who still has some key vacancies that he has to fill, and you brought up one of them.
Dave, Super Bowl Sunday, what do you have a rooting interest in the game tonight?
I mean, I'm a Bills fan, so I don't have a rooting interest except for the Buffalo Bills. But that all being said, I would like to see the Cincinnati Bengals win. Let's remember that the Cincinnati Bengals and Andy Dalton and the team 4 years ago did Buffalo the ultimate solid by, in the most improbable fashion, scoring a 4th-and-12 touchdown at the end of the game against the Baltimore Ravens to propel the Bills, who won that day, into the playoffs for the first time in 17 years. So
that's a good point.
That is something that will live on in the hearts of all of us for a long time, and for that alone, I'd love to see it. And also, I should note that my fellow Kenmore West graduate, friend and just a wonderful guy, Jim McNally, who served as Buffalo Bills offensive line coach for several years as well, is a Cincinnati Bengals guy through and through, still advising the team. I think at the tender age of Jim is 77, 78, and is out there right now. So I would love to see Jim win a Super Bowl as well.
So we heard from District Attorney John Flynn. He's rooting for the Rams because he doesn't want Burrow to get a Super Bowl before Allen. He doesn't want that discussion to even happen. And Matthew Stafford winning a Super Bowl. And we've got Dave Leventhal for Cincinnati. And Councilmember Joe Golombek said he just wants his squares to hit. So those were the those were the predictions today on Hardline.
Fair enough.
All right, Dave. Hey, well, enjoy the game. I know it won't be as much enjoyment if those 13 seconds happened a little differently, but, you know, that's for a different show and a different topic. Dave, for the second time in a row, you are my last guest before a two-week hiatus. I thank you.
You're welcome. And, hey, go Bills. Go Bills now. Go Bills in the future. And let's have a good conversation of another sort about a year from now.
I hope so. Dave, I hope a year from now the show's not on the air because we're at the Super Bowl.
No, your thoughts and mine exactly, Joe.
Thank you. That is Dave Leventhal from Business Insider. And that is Hardline for Sunday, February 13th. I hope you enjoy your afternoon. Enjoy watching the game. If you're going to a party, having a get-together, have fun. Enjoy it tomorrow. Enjoy your Valentine's Day. Enjoy your time with that special someone. And you'll be able to hear me tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, part of BMAZ and Beamer here on News Radio 930. Oh, Tom Bowerly returns tomorrow at 2 o'clock. So it was a pleasure to fill in for Tom for a week and a half. But Tom is back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. You won't want to miss that. The schedule, a regular schedule tomorrow starting at 5 a.m. with a new morning. BMAZ and Beamer at 9, Bellavia 10 to 2, Bowerly 2 to 6, Puckett 6 to 7. We'll see you then on WBEN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, Dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.